You'd think nobody was ever compared to Mussolini before.
Justin Souther.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Positive.
All right.
I'll show you my driver's license. I'm a film critic with the Mountain Express.
And I'm Ken Hankey, the other film critic with the Mountain Express. And we are...
Elitist Bastards.
Yes, and we've been to the movies again.
We're in the Carolina Asheville Cinema Lounge off of Hendersonville Road. It used to be the Hollywood. That's all I've got right now.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah. So, Ken, you watched Marmaduke this week? Is that correct?
Is that correct? Is that correct?
Yes. I wanted to make
Marmaduke.
Sure.
Marmaduke, the movie that you told me that if you had to review, you would quit.
Right. I was about to get everybody up to speed on not wanting to watch. I want to ask you, did I make the correct choice in refusing to watch Marmaduke?
Let me think about that. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if it would have been quite worth quitting over, but it was painful. It was cosmic, god-awful painful. It's not the worst experience I've ever had in a movie. I mean, in some ways, Furry Vengeance was worse. Although it has basically the same plot.
Okay.
It's the work, but you can't make these stupid family comedies without the workaholic dad. I don't believe that they know how to write anything but the workaholic dad who is so distracted that he forgets what's important and learns it in the final reel. But I mean, let's look at this thing. It is, like I said, it is a movie based on a really lame comic strip about a big dumb dog that does big dumb dog things. That's pretty much it. And anything you do on top of that is a talking animal movie. And talking animal movies don't tend to be very good.
What about talking animal comic strip movies? Because I know you've seen both Garfields, correct?
Why did you remind me?
Because it was pertinent, is why.
But
I've seen Dennis the Menace at one point in my life.
But I had successfully blocked this from my mind.
Okay, well now you can remember it and come back to you.
My analyst fees are going to you.
So, what you're saying basically is that Marmaduke is not a movie anyone should watch.
Marmaduke is not even a Garfield movie.
So it's worse than Garfield.
It's much worse than Garfield. Okay. Yes, it's much worse. It's much stupider than Garfield.
Okay.
It's you know, you should avoid this. As I wrote, if you're old enough to be reading this review, you are too old to be watching this movie.
Okay. We both watched Splice, though I did not write about it.
No, I wrote about Splice. But we both did see it, although not at the same time, which was probably unfortunate because then we could bat it around afterwards.
Yes.
I liked it a whole lot better than Justin liked it, apparently.
Well, I'm still, when I got out of it, I was kind of lukewarm on it. It's kind of grown on me a little, but it's still not to the point where I like it as much as you do. And I can't quite put my finger on what doesn't completely work for me, other than a few superficial things.
It's mostly the superficial things in it that don't work for me.
Right.
But I think I could probably answer your question, but this gets into so much psychoanalytical claptrap that I'm not going to do it in public.
Okay.
Let's just say that there are things that happen in this film that are foreign to you that aren't foreign to my mind.
Well, after watching the movie, I can make assumptions that they're probably the wrong ones.
Possibly. Possibly.
So.
Which isn't to say that necessarily I've done any of these things. It's merely to say that I can understand them.
Yes. Okay.
Now, I hope that was cryptic enough for everybody, but this really is an extremely unusual, disturbing science fiction horror film. And it does contain actions in it that are, I suppose you could call them shocking.
They're surprising. Especially one in particular that makes sense within the context of the film, but still you're, at least I was, sort of shocked almost that this was, and it's not like disgusting.
I was shocked when it happened, and there's really no way of explaining what we're talking about here.
When you see it, you'll understand it.
It's something that Adrian Brody does with the artificially created life form. I was shocked to see it depicted.
Yes.
I wasn't shocked that it was happening.
No.
There's a difference.
I just sat there saying, Adrian Brody, what are you doing? Well, you are doing that. Okay. But...
Well, yes, it was fairly obvious what he was doing. So
yes.
It was, you know, I understood it. But to me, it was for the type of horror, science fiction horror that it is, it's the closest thing we've had to a Cronenberg picture since Cronenberg stopped making pictures like this.
I think that's fair. But at the same time, I'd just rather watch a Cronenberg film. Might be part of the issue.
And that's possible. I'd actually have to watch a Cronenberg picture in order to... And I haven't seen one in a while.
Okay. Well...
Yes, I know. You're gonna cure that in the next batch of horror pictures.
Yes. So, but... I think whatever reservations I have with Splice, and a lot of it was... we discussed this on the phone.
That doesn't do any good for the people out in Radio Land, which isn't Radio Land.
Well, if you give me a chance to explain what we discussed on the phone, was that how... I didn't really care for the creature, the look of it, on occasion. It's a little too CGI for me, for my taste. So.
Well.
It kept drawing me out a bit. And it's still something that kind of bugs me 2 days after having watched it.
I can kind of understand that, although it's a type of CGI that does not usually bother me, that it's not
really...
Well,
I've noticed I'm much pickier about these things than you are.
Yeah, I think that's true. That may be because I grew up on movies that had such incredibly cheesy effects. That was pretty good to me.
Well, I would prefer just incredibly cheesy and then trying and then still coming across as...
Cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
So, but... Whatever reservations I have with Splice, I would still say it's an incredibly interesting movie. And it's worth watching.
Oh, I definitely think it's worth watching. I think it's unfortunate that it opened at like number 8, but it doesn't surprise me.
No. Well, it's a movie that I'm sort of amazed at.
I'm kind of amazed that it's playing in the middle of the summer and that it, you know, got a major release as opposed to an art house release.
Yeah.
But it's not a... make no mistake, this is not a feel-good movie. Brian... who I saw it with, and I left the... Well, we sat through all the credits. We didn't, you know... There's like, no big impetus to stand up.
Right.
Then there was... We walked out of the theater in silence. We walked through the lobby in silence. We walked through the parking lot in silence. And, you know, and Brian knows that I can't stand to talk about a movie the minute it's over. If somebody wants me to dissect a movie the minute I finish watching it, it's like, get them away from me. But that doesn't usually keep Brian from talking about other things, and Brian just said nothing the entire time. So, it's the strangest movie about parenting I have ever seen. And at bottom, in a way, it is a movie about parenting.
That's true.
With a homunculus. So, having weaseled out of Marmaduke...
Yes.
For which you will pay dearly before the summer is out.
I would have paid dearly if I had watched Marmaduke. Don't act like
you're going to pay.
I was
going to
get out of
more
something.
Dearly. Trust me on this one.
Okay.
Your lot in life encompassed the sterling Ashton Kutcher film Killers.
Yes, where Ashton Kutcher plays a CIA agent. Which
Snicker.
Yes. I don't. I guess they hired him for his abs. I'm not exactly sure what, but he's a professional CIA assassin.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Who gets married, has a normal life, and then turns out
he gets married to Katherine Heigl. That is not having a normal life.
They like to. They spend a lot of the movie with their shirt off. There's a whole scene where she just is in her bra, and I never understood why. They're just sitting
because
and
she wouldn't take the bra off. It's obvious to me. I mean, or they weren't losing the PG-13. One of the two.
That's true. They should have, but it kind of hurt. I don't know.
Oh well.
Anything. This is.
I don't particularly want to see Katherine Heigl without a bra.
This movie was stupid enough. It couldn't have hurt it. I don't.
Well, okay.
It's anything to have.
I mean, I'm not watching it.
I know.
Okay.
You shouldn't. It's.
I'm not gonna.
Pretty dreadful.
Okay.
It's one of these action romance things that get thrown out every summer.
And well, they should be.
Yes.
Yes.
And the action's not good. The romance is worse. The comedy
I'm assuming there's a comedy level in this.
Yes. Well, it's all these, like, it's full of C-list comedians and former sitcom actors, and it's just bizarre, like Martin Mull's in it, who I sat half the time trying to think of where I've seen him, and then I remembered that...
It's mostly on television.
Yeah, from Roseanne and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and trying to figure out why
he's... been in films, though.
I can't remember if it was anything...
I mean, to me, he's Fernwood Tonight, so that, you know...
Right. But, and then there was, like, former Saturday Night Live cast members and former Mad TV cast members and Tom Selleck... And it was just...
The former Tom Selleck.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So it's... And all this bargain basement cast in this bargain basement movie. And it's... It was just...
Resulted in a bargain basement time.
Yeah, and it's... Okay. The whole thing is just sort of intelligence insulting and how cliched it is. And it's...
Did this make the good points of the other film you saw stand out like a beacon?
No, because I watched it after it. And maybe if I watched it before, it would have made everything past that, I think, look better in comparison.
Well, I suppose there is that to consider.
And it's not like a offensive bad, it's just like a offensive stupid. What is offensively stupid? I don't know what I'm talking about right now. I've confused myself.
So I thought we had segued into talking about Get Him to the Greek, but no. I guess not.
No, now we have.
Okay.
Because the other thing I watched was Get Him to the Greek.
Amazing. I hadn't known
yes.
that. Yes, okay.
I watched Get Him to the Greek, which is a Judd Apatow-produced comedy, which we're seeing less and less of.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
For my taste, yes, but I know there's plenty of people who have...
For your taste, it is a bad thing?
That Apatow-produced is... Not that.
Not yes, okay.
Less of them, I care less. It's something that's... It is one of these... It's actually... I guess it's the first Apatow film to connect to another Apatow film or Apatow-produced film.
Except for the fact that they're all pretty much the same film.
Yes,
yeah.
But this is the first one to use characters, I believe. I can't think of anything else that...
Does it use more than one character from Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Well, you see a clip of some show the Sarah Marshall character is on.
Ah,
so it's a little in-joke, so it doesn't really work all that well. But the movie is based on Russell Brand's character from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, this sort of self-absorbed rock star. And he was probably one of the better things in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I would say. But it was a very small dose of him.
So how does a 109-minute dose go?
It kind of works. His character is not very likable, which isn't the worst thing, but the Jonah Hill character also isn't that likable. He's all right, but he's just...
But Jonah Hill was in the first movie, but he's not the same character in this movie.
No. But it's just sort of this odd couple pairing where you have... this dopey record industry intern played by Jonah Hill trying to get this drug-addled rock star to L.A. for a concert in 3 days, so it's a lot of just awkward situations is what the movie's based on and built upon. So it doesn't really... It depends on how much you like that sort of humor and... or the brand of humor the film has, which is a lot of pop culture references and random things, and some of it works, some of it doesn't, but they throw so much against the wall that...
Something's bound to work, yes, on occasion.
And which it does on occasion, but then you also have this Apatowian thing where there has to be some great awakening in these characters, and they're this sort of like... You find out they're really... have feelings and fully rounded characters in the last...
But do you care?
No.
Oh, I see. That's
no.
the problem.
I mean, because it all comes down to daddy issues and... Really. So, I mean, and when it does sort of turn... The movie turns sort of dark by the end of it and doesn't really... But it's sort of like... mawkishly dark. It's not very... So... Slightly cheesy.
Well, you haven't enticed me.
No. I mean, there's going to be tons of people that... I've talked to lots of people that thought it was hilarious. It's not my brand of humor.
I sat in a theater full of people who thought RV was hilarious, yeah. So, you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're somebody who enjoys Judd Apatow film, you'll probably get some level of enjoyment out of this. If you're not... Then
it has to be better than Funny People.
It's shorter than Funny People.
Well, that's hedging it.
Yes. No, it's much better than Funny People. It's not as nearly as self-absorbed.
That's, yeah, okay. So, self-absorbed is a good description of Funny
yes,
People.
Yes. Ken, in opening, not this past weekend.
But this weekend.
This coming weekend is,
yeah, is
a movie you had the chance to see.
Right. Casino Jack and the United States of Money, which is a documentary.
About Jack Abramoff.
Yes,
okay.
And it's by Alex Gibney, the man who made Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, and the Oscar-winning Taxi to the Dark Side documentary. And it's a very good documentary. I think it's a film that people should see. I think it's a very... It's entertaining and appalling, and it's a very alarming film, and I think people should be alarmed by it, because... It pretty much draws a parallel between things that are happening today in politics and the way the Abramoff and Ralph Reed crowd kind of took over politics in the early 90s by being this unheard-of thing, which were right-wing radicals, which is, sounds like a kind of contradiction in term, but, you know, they were not... content to be conservative, they were going to be radical about it and bring about whatever they wanted. But the problem was what they wanted not only ultimately proved unworkable, but it was all colored by greed and what they could personally get out of it, which was all, you know, and I don't even think it was necessarily hidden by the rhetoric. I think they believed their own stuff, at least up to a point. And then they just believed that they were, you know, above and beyond any aspect of it.
Well, my question is that they're... One of the criticism I hear with a lot of political documentaries, at least Michael Moore, is people complaining about how it's not really anything you don't know.
Wait.
And I've read you write about this sort of thing before, where it's not so much not knowing about it, but it's being all presented in... a short time span.
Right. I mean, it concentrates it. Unfortunately, one of the problems with this film is it should concentrate a little bit more, because it's just 2 solid hours of this.
Right.
And it could easily lose 20 minutes, and I think would have been more effective. But documentaries frequently don't know when to quit, because they're so in love with their agenda. And I don't have a problem with the agenda. And anybody who thinks that a documentary is not agenda-driven... You know, I'm sure that the fact that I've given it a good review is going to get a certain amount of flack from the right-wing contingent, who are, you know, if this had been Expelled, you'd get, I gave Expelled a bad review. Expelled is a terrible movie. You know, bring me a good right-wing documentary, and I will give it a good review. I might find it morally repugnant, but I will give it a good review as a film. But I have not seen one. So, I mean, you know, it's... To me, that's a shallow viewpoint. That, of course, does bring up the flaw in any documentary of this sort, any film of this sort. The people most in need of seeing it aren't going to go see it. The people who go to see it pretty much already think this way.
Right. And the people that you're saying should see it aren't going to buy into it,
they're not gonna,
even if they do watch it.
No, because, and sometimes I don't think that it necessarily has anything to do with an actual distaste for it. I think that in many cases people have, and I'm sure it's true of the left too, they have already made up their minds, and they do not actually want to be exposed to anything that is counter to what they believe, so they don't want to encounter it. Just so it doesn't, you know, upset your particular little worldview, you shouldn't watch it. And there your, and then your worldview will be safe because no one has questioned it. But it's a good film. You know, it's a documentary, and that's right there is pretty much the kiss of death as far as the box office is concerned. So I would say you should see it, but chances of you actually doing it are probably slim.
And we're continuing our Asheville Film Society screenings.
Well, I should hope so. It's only the third one. So.
Yes. And they're Tuesdays at 8 at the Cinema Lounge where we're sitting right now.
Yes, at the Carolina.
And next week's, or this week's, I guess.
Yes. Well, it's next Tuesday.
Yes.
It's this week, yeah. So,
is Woody Allen's Manhattan. And I guess we... Is that my idea, I guess?
I believe Manhattan was your idea.
Yes.
I had no issue at all with it.
Well, I was just sort of looking over my DVD case and thinking, what on here is really good and wonderful? And that one came to mind.
Wait, you mean to tell me you have things on your DVD shelf that are not wonderful?
Yes.
Oh.
We'll save that for another
all
podcast.
Right, yes.
But as far as Manhattan goes, I would say... I go between it and Stardust Memories as far as which Woody Allen is my favorite.
I think that's fair. That's probably about where I am.
Yeah. I will say, without a doubt, the opening of that film is easily my favorite piece of filmmaking, just on like an enjoyment level.
Of Woody Allen's?
Of anybody.
Of anybody. Oh,
yes.
Okay. So Woody Allen has crafted your favorite 3 minutes and 50-odd seconds.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's worth watching it for
just
that.
To see the... I would agree the opening is fantastic.
Yes. You should stay for the rest of the movie, of course, because it's also very good.
Yes.
But
and it kind of works back to the opening, too.
That's true.
You know, it ends with what is probably the most effective evocation of a Chaplin moment I've ever seen, which is it ends almost exactly the way City Lights ends, but with Woody Allen instead of Chaplin, and it surprisingly works.
And I know, whenever I've mentioned that we're running this movie to a few people and Woody Allen, and it seems like a lot of people haven't seen this one, at least in my social circle, I guess. But they've seen Annie Hall and they've seen newer stuff. But I'm hoping that people that aren't as familiar with his work
will come see this.
Because
I think it is. I think his most visually striking film. The only one that comes near it is Stardust Memories. But the difference is that this is really a personal, striking looking film.
Right.
Stardust Memories is heavily, heavily influenced by Fellini.
Right.
So it's kind of like strikes me as a much more original film
right.
in that regard.
And it's a really good balance of the funny Woody Allen and the more serious minded Woody Allen.
Yes. Yes.
So.
I think it does that better than Annie Hall does, actually.
Right.
So, you know, you'll find two very keen supporters of Woody Allen's Manhattan, which is more than you can say for Woody Allen himself, who doesn't like the film.
Right,
so.
But, I mean, who would you listen to? And, but before Tuesday...
comes Thursday, yes. In the way we work things, yes.
And we will be running our... I've lost track of how many we've run. Another Thursday Horror Picture Show.
Well, I think it's good that we've lost track.
Yes,
but this one is the Hammer horror film, The Gorgon.
Right.
With Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
For people who aren't up on their mythology, it's a Medusa. Well, Medusa was a Gorgon.
Yes. But. Well, this is Medusa's sister, Megara, who is apparently even nastier.
Okay.
It's pretty typical Hammer horror. If you know what that means, you know what that means. If you don't know what that means, it means it's like a kind of corrupt fairy story done in pre-Raphaelite painting style. And it's more creepy than scary, more atmospheric than creepy. And yet, at the time, these films were considered quite tasteless because they were considered very bloody.
Right.
They aren't bloody today at all, but back in the late 50s and early 60s, which was their heyday, that shot of Peter Cushing popping a brain out of a skull that's in this movie, which is very arbitrary. There's no reason for this to be in the movie at all, except that it's a Hammer horror picture, was considered just absolutely the last word and gruesome. Right. Now it's
quaint.
Positively quaint, yes. Yeah. And but I will have to say, for all the criticism that there is of how cheesy the Gorgon looks when we finally see her, simply because 1964 technical effects and a head full of snakes, not a real good mix. This is a case where CGI would have been a big help.
Right.
Well, say what you want about the old gal. First time I saw this movie, I was 9 years old. I had conned someone into taking me to the drive-in to see it. I saw this three times, come to think of it, but the first time I was at the drive-in. And at that time, I was staying at my grandmother's in Concord, North Carolina. And we got home late, much later than my grandmother would be up. And I was having to share a bed with my grandmother at that point in time. I would not, however, get into that bed until someone had turned on the light and proven to me that she had hair and not snakes.
And I'm assuming...
She did not have snakes,
okay.
No.
Okay.
But this sticks to me, even to this day. I will not get into a bed that I don't know who the other person is and whether or not they have snakes in their head.
It seems...
prudent.
Yes.
Prudent,
definitely.
Yes. So, come and see if it has that effect on you.
Last week we had our first reader-submitted letter. And so far I believe it's our only...
Yeah, I believe it is the only one that has actually been submitted to us.
Yes. Which I guess we can remind people if...
that they could submit questions.
Yes, to... It's MX Movies?
No. Now you're going to get the whole thing all confused. Right. It's Express Movies, Express Movies, one word, at AOL.com.
Okay. Well, maybe people were sending all their questions to the wrong...
Well, that's
possibly
true.
They were confused. Maybe I was sending all my questions to the... Maybe I should send questions.
Maybe you should send questions. I'll answer your questions.
Good. But we had...
I have no shame.
But we had a question last week from a young Mr. Jeremy Dillon, all the way in Australia, who...
Yes. He is.
And we answered most of his questions, but being the types we are, we never actually printed out what he wanted us to...
No, we didn't make a note or anything. We just assumed we could remember.
Yes. So we forgot. We actually forgot.
We forgot, yes.
Part of his question was... is there any director, I guess recently, that we've had to reassess a certain film or a few films that have made us reassess?
to me, that's a trick question.
Okay. Well, I know what your answer is, actually. Or one director. Scorsese.
Oh, yes, yes. I have had to reassess Scorsese because I have not, until his last two pictures, particularly cared for Scorsese's work, which is not the work. I don't care for his subject matter. The Departed and Shutter Island are completely different to me than his earlier films, not because they're different stylistically, right, but because they don't deal with people I don't care about. I've seen Raging Bull. I think it's a remarkable achievement, technically.
Right.
I don't care anything about Jake LaMotta, and I don't particularly want to spend a couple hours watching a movie, no matter how well made, about Jake LaMotta. I do now feel like I need to go back and reassess all these films, even though I can't say that, for the most part, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's, you've been saying you're going to reassess them.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean,
The Departed came out, so.
That's true. And I don't think I've actually reassessed anything.
No. I remember you talking about how...
Well, when's the last time...
You almost have these put Goodfellas in the DVD player. And...
No, I almost picked up Goodfellas at a store.
Okay.
And then I saw Joe Pesci's name, and that was the end of that, so...
For myself, I'm trying to think of somebody that I've had to... Maybe Michael Bay, but only because I think he's getting worse. Is that fair?
Which is actually a remarkable achievement.
Yes. But
how Michael Bay
actually
became,
I'm never going to reassess
more
Michael
like
Bay.
Michael Bay.
That would take me watching Bad Boys 2, and I've managed not to do that so far.
I didn't. I saw Bad Boys 2. I see no reason why you should escape this.
You have that thousand-yard stare right now.
Yes. Wow. So many bad memories.
Don't they have it's rats having sex or something?
They had rats that had sex on cue.
That's an achievement, isn't it?
Well, it is an achievement. My question is, where would you find these? Why would you even think to look for them? Now, that is really the question.
Maybe that's what we need to be reassessing.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we haven't given him enough credit.
Well, you know, I kind of reassessed Joel Schumacher, too.
Right.
After Phantom of the Opera came out. And I found that Schumacher is a more interesting filmmaker than I would have given him credit for, but he's one of those filmmakers who is very much a slave to the material.
Right.
If the material is good, he can deliver a pretty good, stylish film.
Mm-hmm.
He can deliver a really bad, stylish film if the material is bad.
Right.
The number 23 comes immediately
yes.
to mind, which is very stylish and one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen in my life. I've now gotten to a point where I don't, unlike so many people, I've gotten over it. I don't hold the Batman pictures against him because he gave Warner Brothers exactly what
right.
they asked for, which was a lighter, campier, dumber Batman to make up for having scared the crap out of a bunch of kids with Batman Returns. So, you know, I really don't think you can blame him for that. I mean... There are other things. I mean, I don't know if Jeremy is in, you know, talking about. I mean, this is really, it's only been within the last 10 years that I've started to warm up to Kurosawa. As far as that goes, it's only been within the past couple years that I have really gotten heavily into Frank Borzage for the simple reason that most of Borzage's best work has only been available to look at for the past couple years. You know, that was a lot of his late silent things and early talkies were an absolute revelation. You know, I think I said that, you know, I did that interview for those that box set of Murnau and Borzage films that can that big hulking unwieldy
right.
stupidly boxed set that will fit on no shelf on God's earth.
Let's hope they're not listening.
Well, I don't care. I'll be glad to complain to them about that. The thing is taking up part of a chair. I don't know where to put it. You know, it was one of these films was something I'd been wanting to see for 35 years, and
uh-huh.
it was at least worth 34 of those years waiting to see it. You know, I mean, if I'd seen it, you know, a year earlier, it'd probably been a little bit better, but... Still, I was fascinated by the film, so... You know, but I mean, otherwise, I don't know that I've actually sat down and reassessed anybody else.
Maybe it's time to.
Who should we reassess?
I don't know.
You see, I get to reassess these things a little bit all the time because I show you things that you've never seen before,
right,
that I've known since I was, you know.
So I'm just now assessing while you're reassessing.
That's right.
So
there's a lot of assessing going on here. Supposed to deal with the movies that are opening this Friday.
Well, we have, there's, besides Casino Jack, which you've
I've seen and reviewed, so it's a non-starter for me, but it shouldn't be for the rest of you.
There are three other films coming this week. We'll start with the smaller one, which is the foreign film.
I don't know that it's small. It's the only one that interests me. You're talking about The Secret in Their Eyes.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
As far as box office goes,
it's an Argentinian film, but it did win the Best Foreign Language Film Oscar this year. It's got a 92% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's a mystery thriller.
Which there have been a lot of good ones.
There have been a lot of good ones
this year.
And, you know, how long has, you know, it's subtitled too.
Right.
And how long has Girl with a Dragon Tattoo been playing here to receptive audiences now?
Right.
4 weeks, five maybe? And so maybe audiences are ready to give this a try too, just because it's in Spanish. I see no reason to avoid it. The trailer looks interesting.
It does.
And I like mysteries, so and it's not a genre that we get an awful lot of anymore.
And even less good ones.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so
I'm actually looking forward to this, which is a lot more than I can say of the two mainstream releases.
Right.
And those are,
well, we have the A-Team film, which is another bit of 80s kitsch that's been turned into a feature-length film. This one, however, is, it's hard to tell. It could, there's a slight chance it could be entertaining. Whether that happens
remains to be seen. Well, it remains for you to see, since you've already hijacked it.
Yes.
On the shaky premise that you've at least seen an A-Team show and you've never seen The Karate Kid.
I remember. At least one episode.
You say you haven't seen it. Yeah, well. You say you haven't seen The Karate Kid, but I don't have that in writing anywhere. I mean,
I will get it notarized that I've not watched The Karate Kid.
But you would lie.
No, I will, under oath, I will state that I have never watched The Karate Kid.
You couldn't see that, but I made a rude gesture.
Yes. That's why it's explicit.
Yes, that's right.
The things you can't see.
I made a very explicit gesture.
Yes, but we have this A-Team film, which, if only for the fact that that guy from District 9 is in it, good for him having a career.
Well, you know, I mean, I like Liam Neeson, and I have nothing against Bradley Cooper, except that I think the only good thing he's been in so far is Midnight Meat Train.
Right. And then there's this guy playing Mr. T. I have no clue who he is.
I have no idea.
So
there's some random person playing Mr. T.
It could be possibly an entertaining popcorn movie. It could be loud and stupid and loud.
And stupid.
Yes.
Yes, well.
So, only time will tell.
You're going to have to convince me that it's really worth my spare time.
Yes.
Because you've,
well, since all of your spare time, your entire weekend is going to be spent watching.
My entire weekend is going to be eaten up by 2 hours and 20 minutes of the Karate Kid remake. Why?
Because I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
Okay. I mean, I don't even know why we're remaking this film. I've got nothing against Jackie Chan. I like Taraji P. Henson a whole lot.
So she's in, what was the last good movie she was in?
Well, we don't have to go into that.
Okay.
But, you know, that doesn't mean she's bad. It just means that
She has a bad agent.
She has a bad agent. She has the same basic problem that a lot of really good black actresses have, and that is that there just aren't roles out there that they get. I mean,
right.
There's not, you know, I got to a point where I got tired of making excuses for her, but Gabrielle Union is another perfectly fine actress.
Queen Latifah
does not get movies that are usually as good as she is. I mean, it's just an unfortunate syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's nothing wrong with Jaden Smith, except for the fact that this whole thing that it's Jaden Smith starring in a film produced by Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith just reeks of vanity production.
Right.
It's like, you know, what do you get Jaden Smith for his birthday? Oh, you get him a $50 million movie to star in. I mean, it just has that feel to it.
And I'm always astonished that whenever that trailer comes up, I've seen enough movies where the trailer for this thing has been on it.
Yes.
And apparently I'm the only one that finds Jackie Chan, instead of saying wax on, wax off, saying jacket off.
Yes. This is
funny. I don't know why. No one else is not bursting out into laughter other than myself, but I guess they're classier than I am, maybe.
That doesn't take much. I'm classier than you are. I mean, it's not, you know...
Well, we'll see about that.
Well.
The guy making rude gestures over here is classier than I am.
Like you've never made a rude gesture.
No, never.
No.
Never.
No, I'm going to have an affidavit on that, okay. Too. So that is what our weekend looks like.
I can say we've seen worse. This past weekend was pretty bad, so.
No, that's true. Both of these new films, all three of these new films, but one of these new films has the advantage of not being these two films, and these two films have the advantage of not being Marmaduke. So, you know, every cloud has a tinfoil lining, and that's this one's.
So I guess we're going right now.
Are we actually leaving?
Yes, we're walking out of the theater as we speak.
Oh, well, someone tell my legs they haven't gotten the message yet.
Okay. Just trust me.
Okay.
But I'm Justin Souther.
And I'm Ken Hanke.
And this is our podcast, Elitist Bastards.
Presented by the Mountain Express and produced by Mr.
The Illuminous.
The Illuminous?
Is that not right?
My God, he glows in the dark.
Yes.
I think you mean illustrious.
That works too.
All right. So say
he's a big, bright, shining star, Ken.
That's true. All
Steve Schanefeld, everyone.
Yes. And you left out something. We are
Elitist Bastards.
And we've been to the movies.
Yes, we have.